The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman, whose name was Martha, welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part and will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Hospitality, holiness, and hope. And for those of you who ever raised on a farm, we could make it four H's with another H that I'm going to mention. Let's take a look at the readings and then develop these three points. The very first reading is one that's rather fascinating. It's caught in a Russian icon featuring the Trinity. So Abraham, we know in this particular part of the book of Genesis, is 100 years old. His wife, pretty much the same age. In those days, hospitality was a risky affair. In fact, the word hospitality and hostel come from the same root, as does hospital. So there were rather extensive rituals to try to make sure that the person that was being welcomed was not an enemy. And you extended a great deal of stuff hoping that they would be kind to you. Because if the person was a robber, you could be taken in. Or if the person who was welcoming you was somebody who wanted to dominate and control you, you have another problem. So there was a way in which it was kind of a dance. Even to these days in the Middle East, if any of you have been there, the ritual of a meal is extraordinary. And of course, the expectation of something similar when they come here is also clear. So here you have Abraham. It's hot. He's at the front of his tent. People come. He's 100 years old. It says he runs to greet them. He hastened into the tent. He ran to the herd. This is a man who's still got some juice, huh? So he goes, and they have this conversation, prepares the meal, all of that. Abraham is wealthy at this point. He's got a herd. He's got a lot of things going on. And the people ask, "Where's your wife, Sarah?" "She was out of sight," and so on. And then they announce, "By this time next year, she'll have a son." I wish the reading would have continued. This is where there's some, this is the announcement that she's going to conceive Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so on. Listen to the rest of the reading. "Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent." Ooh, what's going on out there? So on. "And just behind Abraham." Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and Sarah had stopped having her womanly periods. So Sarah laughed to herself and said, "Now that I'm so withered and my husband is so old, am I still to have sexual pleasure?" The Bible's so clear, huh? It says here, "But the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I really bear a child old as I am? Is anything too marvelous for the Lord to do? At the appointed time, about this time next year, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son.' Because she was afraid, Sarah dissembled, saying, 'I didn't laugh.' But he said, 'Yes, you did. It's all here. It's right in the book. I didn't make this up. It's a wonderful story. And of course, Isaac in Hebrew means he laughed. So it all holds together in a beautiful way. So this is the visit of these. You go to the focus is on the fulfillment of God's promise, even though Abraham and Sarah were advanced in years. Go to the Gospel of Luke, and you have a beautiful situation in a tough context. Jesus has run into problems. By this time in the Gospel of Luke, he's been questioned by the security forces. He's been rejected. He's been tested. All these things are going on, and he wasn't welcome everywhere where he used to be. And still he set his face, this is Gospel of Luke, he set his face going to Jerusalem. Now, as he approaches Jerusalem, Martha and Mary, friends, finally a hospitable place. He goes to them. Who's the one that runs out to meet him? Martha goes out to welcome him. And then you have this kind of debate. Now, for a long time, from the Middle Ages especially, Martha and Mary were compared to the active and the contemplative life, right? Well, that misses the whole point. It may be helpful in some ways, but all of us are called to live some combination of these things. So here you have a situation, Martha's complaining. You really have to think about, how do you read these texts? How do you read them out loud? You say, "Martha, Martha, why are you so anxious?" Or you could say it with some compassion, "Martha, Martha," almost chuckling the second time he says it. "Chill, will you, kid? Relax a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. You're worried about a lot of things. Just try to keep in mind, whether you're running around in the kitchen or wherever, even among the pots and pans, you can meet Jesus Christ." I mean, that's what I think could be the message that comes back. So these are the readings. Hospitality. I'll just tell you one story. There was a student whom I've worked with who went on and finished his doctorate just recently in industrial engineering, and he's going to be up in the Bay Area. He comes from a fairly well-to-do background, and he has had the practice. I didn't know this for some period of time. He has had the practice every week of finding someone who's homeless and taking them to dinner. He never told me that, but he just did it. He did it every week. Pretty impressive. He also was deeply involved in detention ministry. So last Sunday, they couldn't find a priest. So they dug to the bottom and invited me to do a mass for these 14 to 18-year-old young men and women at the detention center, which is over by the Keck Hospital, juvenile delinquents. Very, very sad thing. He has been doing this for 5 years, and he's got other people involved in it. It's a pretty amazing thing. He has extended himself in a way that hospitality is like a hospital. It's a place of healing. Ask yourselves what role hospitality has in your lives, especially not just for friends and neighbors, but for strangers. What can you do? What difference can you make? The second is the issue of holiness. There is a way in which this reading, if you put it in order sequence, before this reading, you have the lawyer who comes and poses questions and tries to test Jesus. And the final answer is, love the Lord your God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. He tells them the story of what? Last Sunday, as you all remember real clearly, the gospel from last Sunday. The Good Samaritan, right? The Good Samaritan does a lot of things. Gets the guy, wraps him up, does something with his wounds, puts him on his horse, takes him to an inn, and then comes back, I'll pay whatever, all of that. He's action. But Jesus says the same thing. He says afterwards, love the Lord your God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Both are important. Both are important. And I think one of the difficulties is that we split them apart. When it comes to holiness, The center is to encounter Jesus, either in action or in contemplation. Listen to these texts from the New Testament. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. Matthew chapter 7. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. There's a difference between being able to hear and really listen. That's in Matthew 13. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Matthew 13. This is my son. Listen to him. Matthew 17. Listen to me, all of you. That is Mark 6, 7. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Luke 8. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word and obey it. Luke 11. The friend of the bridegroom stands and hears him. John 3, 27. Whoever hears my word and believes in him and sent me is eternal life. John 5. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. John 18. I'm sorry to pour all this on you, but it should be pretty obvious that that's what's central. This is not about how good your hearing is. It's how well you can listen. How well you can listen. Real hospitality is focused on the guests. I recently was at a dinner party that was arranged for a certain purpose, and two people just dominated the conversation about a different concern. So I just kind of shut down. If you imagine that for an extrovert, that's quite an achievement. I said, and it went on for a long time. They were venting about things they were very concerned about and upset about, and so that wasn't the topic. If you say to somebody, how are you? Depending on how you say that, it really means something, or it's kind of like a throwaway line. I have a friend who always said, this can get a little bit too much on the other side. I have a friend who always says to me, how is your soul? I said, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. None of your business. But somewhere in between, there's a balance, huh? A balance where you really are concerned about other people. And when you ask, you want to know. So holiness involves this, but it's also important to realize when you talk about Martha and Mary and action and contemplation and so on, there are different types of temperaments. There are people that are very busy. All their lives, they're just a bundle of energy. You know, they're doing this and doing that and so on. There are other people that tend to be kind of quiet and observant and so on. Different roles there. It's also the case that there are different dimensions at different times in your lives, huh? Different dimensions that come alive in a way that you would never understand in your 20s, but you understand much better later. That's why I always feel it's kind of cruel to hold somebody, especially if they're an author, if they write something and publish something in their 20s, and then in their 70s, somebody finds that and puts it in their face. That happened often to Cardinal Ratzinger. Ratzinger, 1966, right after Vatican II, published a book that was pretty positive and upbeat and all of this, and then he became Pope, and they said, look, you're not saying the same thing. Well, I'm not the same person, for God's sake. I came to see some things. Finally, hope. We always hear about faith, hope, and charity. It's mostly about faith and love, right? We hear about that most of the time. What about hope? What do we do with hope? Suffering is inevitable. If we care about anything, we'll suffer. Unless you turn off everybody else and try to stay within yourself so you don't get hurt, you're going to be hurt. I've often quoted and love to quote Herbert McCabe, a Dominican who made the statement, if you do not love, you will die. Comma. And if you love, you will die. Make your choice. You say, well, this doesn't sound like the good news. Well, it is the good news. because the good news is addressed to real people in real life situations. And anybody here who's lived long enough has gone through things they didn't expect, they didn't anticipate, they suffer. So the real question then is sustaining hope in the midst of a difficult journey. Suffering and death, inevitable. What would it be like if Jesus Christ had a wonderful life, really enjoyed great wealth, was always praised by everybody, and died at 90 in the age of a loving wife, in the arms of a loving wife? You ever think about that? Whom do we have? You have this image up here of the Holy Family, beautiful. But below it is the crucifix. Catholics tend to make sure the body is there. The body is there. So you got suffering. Our Savior went through it, he rose, and he offered forgiveness and hope. Folks, that's really good news. Please, don't be afraid to be hospitable. In the whole process, whether you're active or more prone to the quiet, listen to the Lord Jesus. And most profoundly, deal with whatever suffering you have. Even chronic health problems can be really difficult. Be hopeful. God will appear at your doorstep the way they did at Abraham's tent, in ways you don't expect. That's good news. That's what real life has to deal with. And for me, I'm grateful that we can be Christians on this journey together. Amen.